Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're continuing our discussion of Volume 1 of Systematic Theology by Dr. Steve Wellum. We are into Chapter 19, talking about the Trinity. So let's pick up with that, Steve. Last time we looked in broader terms and trying to narrow our focus. But now, as I said, let's look at the exegetical ground for it. It's routinely noted that the word Trinity is not to be found in the Bible. But at the same time, we insist that that concept, that that word captures, is thoroughly biblical. So highlight the various factors that constitute this doctrine, or simply what makes the doctrine of the Trinity an exegetical necessity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's so crucial. You have Jehovah's Witnesses come by and constant, oh, there's no word Trinity here. You guys are just making it up. And this has been done through the history of the church. And we have to show that the great confessional heritage, which is first given to us at Nicaea and then Constantinople, and gives us the entire Nicene Creed, which is where we have that great creedal affirmation of the Trinity, is thoroughly biblical, right? So we're not developing a theology or having a theology or drawing theological conclusions that are not directly tied to Scripture, right? The church on this doctrine was not making it up, but they were actually turning to Scripture itself. So that's so crucial. And we have to show then, people, how we get the Trinity and how our understanding of the Trinity comes from the Bible. It's not just coming from the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, though, is summarizing Scripture. And so it's always then Scripture is the foundation. So what I try to do is to sort of make sort of two ways of looking at the biblical evidence. One is in terms of the progress of revelation. And part of my task and what I am convinced of is that our whole doctrines must come from the whole Bible, right? So they must come from proper biblical theology, the progress of revelation, and we then can then turn to the second area. So after looking at the unfolding revelation from Genesis to the New Testament to Christ, then we turn to the specific data that the New Testament gives, and we can put that in sort of syllogistic form, right? There is one true God. The whole Scripture teaches that. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. In each of those sections, the deity of the Father, the deity of the Son, the deity of the Spirit. And if that's the case, we don't have three gods. We have one God. We have to put those together in order to keep all the biblical material together. So there's two ways that we can look at the exegetical and biblical basis. So the first way is to just give people a sense, and I think this is so important to see, that Trinity is not just the doctrine of the Trinity doesn't just show up in the New Testament. It does. I mean, it's fully disclosed, but it's rooted in the Old Testament as well. So I look at a number of areas and is not an exhaustive treatment, but starting right in Genesis 1. And I'm arguing there that there are kind of hints. So to say that this text by itself, independent of the canon, gives us a whole doctrine of the Trinity, I think goes too far. But given the fact that God is triune and he is the one who's given us Scripture, and then we see the full disclosure of the Trinity with the coming of the Son and the coming of the Spirit, we would expect that there would be hints and revelation that there in the Old Testament that you say, oh, no, that's how you make sense of this. This is Trinitarian, isn't it? So I think in the opening, key areas that people have referred to in Genesis 1, 1 to 3, we have God creating. And of course, Elohim, God there is the one who is the one true God. Yet he does so, verse 2, the language of the Spirit of God shows up. And I don't think you would translate that breath of God, as some have tried to do. So the Spirit of God brooding over. Now, is this